Let me share with you our wild connection. First of all, may I ask you, how many of you are familiar with the movie You've Got Mail? I knew that I would be safe to ask that question. As the mother of four sons, I do not get to watch that unless I have my girlfriends with me. So, this is a real-life You've Got Mail story. 2 years ago, February 3rd, 2012, I get an email from Barbara. Hi, dear Debbie. How are things in the Southland? I hope you're doing well. I have a small but needed order. Please send me one Time Wise moisturizer and one deep brown eyeliner. Life is rugged up here at my little Apple computer. I've joined two online dating sites, eHarmony and Match.com. It is brutal out there. The answer really is for you to find me a great guy who loves the Lord, who is a widower, and who was happily a married man prior. So that's your assignment. Along with my Mary Kay order, please send me a match made in heaven. Now, I typically am not at my computer just waiting for emails from my customers. I'm usually out, but at this point in time, I happen to be there. 5 minutes after I received this email, here's my response. I have a man. Marty Jacobus, who lost his wife a year ago last November, just lost his mom this past November. Sorry, it makes me cry. He oversees the Fellowship of Christian Athletes in Southern California and lives in our neighborhood. You're welcome to come down and get acquainted. I think he's about 6'5". Are you available for a call today? If so, what time works for you? 6 minutes later. I had to print this off. I went and backed up on my emails. I never delete anything. Wow, that was fast work, Deb. I'm available now. And the rest is history. It is my joy, my privilege to introduce to you a woman who I admire and respect for being a woman of faith in the dark times, for being a woman of courage who has inspired and mentored so many people. It's beyond who I could express today, Barbara.
Thank you, dear.
Yeah, thank you. Well, good afternoon, ladies. As beautiful as Debbie is on the outside, she is even more beautiful on the inside. And I so thank you, Debbie, for your friendship. And she's our den mother today, so keeping us all on track. So would you please give her a hand for a marvelous job? She's a wonderful MC for our afternoon, and I would just really like to thank all of you for being here to help launch this Lynx Ladies Luncheon, our very first one. We're so excited that you're here, and I have to say that when I think about February, a noontime in February, aren't you glad you're here in the desert and not in a whole host of other places we could be? This afternoon, noontime in the desert in February. I'm from Minnesota where they're in a deep freeze, and so I love this. This is great weather. Well, I wonder if most of you are like me in that most of the significant stories of my life could really begin with the phrase, I met a man. Now, I'm talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly stories, right? But since this is the month of love and God is love, I'm going to share with you this afternoon a few love stories from my life that I believe will help point us to Jesus, who is absolutely the author of love. Now, as Debbie was mentioning, 2.5 years ago, I found myself in the single scene. And, the last time I had dated was like over 40 years before that. And I found out really quickly that there are actually new ways to meet a man in this world. And so, like Debbie said, I joined eHarmony and Match.com. And, oh, my gosh, it was quite a wild ride. And, the thing about it is that we women just love a good love story. And most of my girlfriends were married at the time, and I had a few single friends too, but I tell you, it was like high school all over again. These girls were just such great girlfriends, and they wanted to know all about my adventures online, and so of course, I was giving them the updates periodically about this man and that man that I was communicating with. You see, you have to understand that I was in a rural area where the pond was very small and the fish in the pond were very, very few. And so off I went into the online dating world. And so my girlfriends were just wonderful and very supportive, and they would, you know, want updates. And so at any given time, I was probably speaking to maybe about five or six men on the phone or in email and just kind of getting to know some California men. And it got to be a little confusing to keep track of them all. And so So my girlfriend was saying, now, was he the guy from Ventura? Was he the guy? You know, and so we were trying to keep it all straight. And so I decided to, because I'm a very organized person, I decided to organize them according to ice cream flavors to help them keep track of who I was talking about. So, of course, I had to give them specific names. And so one man I gave the name Mr. Vanilla. And you can imagine he was very safe and boring. And then there was Mr. Mint Chip, who is just, you know, all purpose, good flavor, good guy, kind of like the big brother, you know, nice, but big brother. And then there was Mr. Rocky Road, who, true to his name, he was very wild, very interesting, but a little bit too much over the long haul. You know, you can only take so much after a while. So these were the names I was giving these men, and we just were having a great time about it all. And that's when my conversation with Debbie came along, and she said to me on the phone, would you like to meet a man named Marty Jacobus? And she told me about him, that he was, yes, he's actually 6'4", and I'm a tall woman, so that was like, oh, that's a good thing. And he had been widowed just 20 days before I had. His wife, Jenny, had passed away at home on hospice from cancer, as my husband had. And we even had twins. He has four boys, two of which are twins, and I have twin boy-girl twins. And he was in full-time parachurch ministry, and so was I. I was executive director of a pro-life pregnancy clinic up in Northern California. And so we had a lot of these commonalities, and I said, sure, give my phone number to him, and I'd be fine. So 2 days later, Marty calls on the phone, and we have this lovely chat, and it was very fun, and we began to chat on the phone, and we decided to meet. So 2 weeks later, we met in Santa Barbara, which Marty feels is very, you know, God-ordained, since my name is Barbara. And so we're looking hard, you know. So we meet in Santa Barbara. We have a very nice meeting. And, of course, my girlfriends are all, you know, just beside themselves, wondering how this is going, texting me in the middle of it all and all that, you know, just very high school. It was just, it's crazy how we girls get kind of high school about this thing, but we do. So I come back to my home, and I get together with my girlfriends at lunch the next day, and of course they all want to know, you know, who is this man? What's he like? And so all I needed to say to them is, girls, I met a man, and his name is Mr. Banana Split. He is. Mr. Banana Split, I tell you, Marty Jacobus had it all. He was amazing. I was completely, completely blown away by the man. And, you know, I have to say, we fell in love hard and fast. And 3 months later, we were married. And, you know, when you know, right? So I moved to the desert and began my life as Mrs. Banana Split. And, you know, I have to say to you that both Marty and I every day just thank God for the opportunity that he's given us to build another life together. I was married for 32 years. He was married for 37. We had loving mates. We built our life together. And yet God would choose in his sovereignty to give us the opportunity to fall in love and build a life together, walk through life, combine our families, combine our ministries, and build a life together and walk the rest of however many days the Lord gives to us. And we're extremely thankful for that, just extremely grateful to the Lord. Well, I would have to say, as significant as precious Marty is to my life, the most significant man that I ever met in my life was a man named Jesus Christ. And I met him 40 years ago through the testimony of a girlfriend. And then she plugged me into a women's, I was a teenage Bible study at the time, a girls' Bible study. And I began to discover who Jesus was for myself. I got to read about him through the pages of Scripture and find out who he was, read his words, and develop my own relationship with him and discover the kind of love-faith relationship I could have with this man named Jesus. And I have to say that it was through the Bible that I discovered that there was this hole in my soul that was caused by the sin in my life that had separated me from a holy God who had created me. And that God in the flesh, Jesus, God in the flesh, came to this earth and he died on the cross to pay that penalty for my sin so that I could have peace with God for all of eternity. And not only that, but on this earth, I could have a relationship with Jesus, one that would restore my soul, would restore that brokenness in my heart and in my soul. And this is the journey of the ultimate love story that began for me over 40 years ago, that I began at that time to restore my soul and to bring me into that relationship with the Lord. And I just have to pause right now and just say, if this whole vernacular of the Christian life is new to you, I just want you to understand, as I talk about these things, it may seem a little bit odd to you, but I need to say that the Christian experience is a supernatural experience. It's not just changing your worldview. It's not just changing your ethics or your morality or your political scenes or anything. It is a supernatural experience. The God of the universe punctured through time and space and invaded our world and wants to have a relationship with you and me. Imagine that. And so when I talk about these things, understand that we're talking about a supernatural existence, a supernatural relationship. And I also might talk with you, I might use words like the Word of God or the Bible or Scripture. Those I'm going to all use interchangeably as we talk about how that fits into this scenario today. I'm using those words interchangeably. And there's a verse that's been very important to me. It's in the book of the Bible and the New Testament in James, the book of James, and it's the first chapter. And this is what it says: with humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. And as I read that and as I've lived that out, I've discovered that the Word of God, when I receive that, it's more than just a head knowledge or a head thing going on. It actually goes down into my soul and becomes implanted or embedded into my soul. And the Bible says that word is able to deliver, able to save your soul, able to transform your soul, redeem your soul. That is the power of the Word of God when we let it plant deep down into our soul. And I've had 40 years of letting the Word, I've been probably involved in 100 Bible studies, and let the Word and my own reading of the Word of God and in the Bible, and letting that plant down deep inside me. And the changes that have happened in my life and the restoring of my soul has been so real. And I know many of you could say amen to that as well. And I want to share with you how important the implanted Bible, the Word of God, has been in my soul. And I'm going to share a story with you. It was at the most difficult time of my life, the Word of God rescued me. It's the only way I can put it. The Word of God rescued me, the Word that was implanted in my soul. I wanted to share with you that another part of my love stories that I want to share with you is that 35 years ago, I met a man named David Meyer. And we lived in Northern California. We met, we fell in love, and we got married. David Meyer was a follower of Jesus. He was a student of the Bible. He taught the Bible. He was he had memorized over 100 scriptures, well over 100 scriptures. And we our life was surrounding our family. We had twin children, a boy and a girl. And we had our careers. We had our home. We were up in Northern California for 35 years and built a life. We found ourselves in the empty nest scenario. And we were just a year or two from retirement. And we had our retirement home that we loved. And kind of all of our little ducks were in a row. And we were in ministry together. And we spoke the Bible to each other a lot in terms of encouraging each other, reminding each other, instructing each other about the Word and how God wants to transform our lives and His concepts in the Word. And so that had been a habit in our lives, had been a part of our lives. And so life was good. You know, we were enjoying life. And one day he developed some symptoms and went to the doctor, and he came home with a diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. Yeah. And obviously, by the sound of your voices, you understand that pancreatic cancer is just horrible. There's only a 5% survival rate. Well, he was a very healthy man, so he was able to withstand the surgeries and all of the many kinds of rounds of chemo and radiation that he went through. And he fought hard, but at 24 months, we brought him home with hospice care. And we set up a place in our den for him to go through the last of his days. And we had my children there, and we had friends coming and family coming. It was a very holy time for David and I. And we had been in the habit of encouraging each other with scriptures down through those 24 months. And we continued that on as these next 2 days unfolded. I just have to tell you that the Lord just invades those moments with holiness and preciousness and even some gentle humor, and it was a beautiful, beautiful, precious time. And as he was nearing toward the end, and I was keeping my vigil at the sofa there, the bed was there, and I was at the sofa with him the whole time, and holding his hand and just ministering to him best I could, and sometimes reading scripture to him, sometimes just quoting it, something from memory, and he would quote back to me, and we were walking this journey together. And at one point I said to him, I cupped his face in my hands like this, and I said, "Sweetheart, we are so proud of you. You have fought the good fight. You have kept the faith. And in just a few hours, you are going to finish your race, and you will be face to face with Jesus." And he smiled at me, and he closed his eyes, and I grabbed his hand again and just waited as we would do, just holding his hand and praying silently for him that the Lord would minister to his heart, minister to his soul with those words that were from Scripture. And at one point he squeezed my hand, and that was kind of our signal. I leaned in, put my ear near his mouth. He was only able to speak just a few things and not very loudly, and I leaned in, and he said what was going to be our last prayer as a married couple. I leaned in, and he said this: "Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And the word implanted in David's life came out. Could you hear it? The word implanted in my life came out at the most difficult time of my life. Well, on December 2nd, 2010, at 9 o'clock in the morning, David Meyer entered heaven, and it was such a holy, precious time. But I experienced something I had never experienced before. I had buried a mother, buried my grandparents, even buried a very good, close girlfriend. And I had a grieving over that morning that I had never experienced before. And I discovered, the Lord helped me understand, that not only, what was unique about my grieving was not only that David had died. I understood that not only did he die, but we died. That one flesh union that the Bible talks about when a man and a woman marry, that's a one flesh union. When by the sovereign will of God, he dissolves that, that union dies. And I felt myself grieving that in a way I'd never obviously experienced before. And I found myself feeling this vacuous feeling of being a half. Do you know? Being a half. And the grieving and the mourning over that was just phenomenal to me. Well, the day, you know, went on. That was 9 a.m, and then the day went on, and lots of family and friends and phone calls and decisions had to be made, and And, you know, my kids were great. Family was great. We soldiered on through that day. And nighttime came. And I the house was quiet. Everyone was in bed. And it was about 11 o'clock at night. And I was laying in my king-size bed. And I was confessing to the Lord how afraid I was, how alone I felt, how terribly vulnerable I felt. And here again is that supernatural thing where I felt deep down in my soul God calling me to get up and encounter Him, meet Him, come and meet with me out in the den where I'd had 2 days' vigil with my husband. I can't explain how he does it. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was there. And so I got up and I wrapped myself in David's old winter robe and went out to the den, turned the little side lamp on. And I didn't know what the Lord had for me, but I know He was calling to encounter me. And I knelt at that couch and I just said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then I did something I had never done before. I placed my hand on my head, and I extended my other hand in sort of a gesture of receiving whatever it is that God had for me. And I knelt there, and I felt a prayer bubble up from my soul, and I prayed it out loud, and this is what I prayed. "Father God Almighty, may it be done to me according to Your word. Be my husband. Be my provider. Be my protector. Be my shield and my exceedingly great reward. In the name and the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen." Amen. And I knew, ladies, I knew that I knew it would be well with my soul. You see, years of the implanted word in my life came bubbling out in a prayer that the Holy Spirit generated. And I knew He'd answer it. I knew He would answer that prayer. I knew it would be well with my soul. He was confirming a covenant that He had made with me over 40 years ago, that He would never leave me, never forsake me. He would meet my need. He would meet my need. And so, every morning after that, before my feet would hit the floor, I would pray that prayer over me. I'd pray the same prayer over me every morning until the day I married Marty Jacobus. And it was never rote, it was never canned, it was always exceedingly profound to me. It always, always ministered life to me, always ministered, it delivered me from my fears, it filled me with faith in God. And please, please don't misunderstand me. The widow's road continued to be extremely painful, extremely difficult. It was the hardest, hardest thing I have ever done in my life. But God was there. He made His presence manifest in my life in concrete ways. He was my provider, my protector, every step of the way, filling me with faith and confidence in the middle of buckets of tears, but filling me with His presence. And that word that had been implanted over 40 years into my soul came to my rescue and filled me, and He met me through the pages of those scripture verses. Powerful, powerful thing. And I have to just pause sort of parenthetically here and say that, you know, the statistics about widowhood are really grim, ladies. 75% of married women will become widowed. The average age that a woman becomes widowed in America, 55. Shocking, isn't that? Shocking. Average age a woman becomes married or becomes widowed in America is 55 years old. I was 54. And I have to tell you that, you know, in a room the size with over 100 women, you know, it could be that one of us will become widowed this year. And I have to say to you, I am living testimony to you. God will meet you. God will meet you in your point of greatest need. He will meet you. I am just absolutely a nobody from Nowheresville. And yet God invaded my world and met me. And met me at my most deepest, deepest need. And he will do the same thing for you. The same thing for you. Now, there's a woman in the Bible who really was a nobody from Nowheresville. And actually, you know, we don't even know her name. The only way we really kind of know her is, you probably heard it, she's the woman at the well. Okay? Doesn't even have a name. And she was, you can read about her in John 4. This precious woman had a bad reputation. She was from a bad neighborhood, and she had met a string of bad men who had used and abused and abandoned her. And one noontime in the desert, she met a man named Jesus Christ, and he rocked her world, changed her world. I can't go into the entire story here, but go read it in John 4, the Gospel of John, what happened. But let's suffice it to say that the encounter that she had with Jesus was so powerful, so radically transforming, that it changed her world. She dropped her water pot, and she ran into the village, and she told the villagers, "I met a man who knew everything about me. Could he be the Messiah?" Can you just hear the cry of intimacy? I met a man who knows me. He knows everything about me. And the long awaited for hope for the Messiah. Could he be the Messiah? Could this man be the Messiah? And she told about him, and the Bible tells us that some of the villagers believed Jesus based on her testimony. And they invited Jesus to stay for two more days in the village. And he spoke to them from the Word of God. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the living Word of God. And he spoke from the Old Testament. He spoke words of truth. He testified to God the Father. He testified to who he was as the Messiah. And the Bible tells us that even more people came to trust Jesus. And this is what they said to the lady, to this precious woman at the well. They said, "We believe. Not just because of your testimony, but because we have heard his word for ourselves." Do you hear the power of that? Do you hear the power of that? So I ask you today, who do you know who has never met a man named Jesus? Who do you know who needs to read his word from the Bible for themselves? Maybe they need your testimony to believe. And then maybe they need to read for themselves and listen to Jesus themselves through the words of the Bible so that they can know for themselves, they can believe for themselves because of his testimony in the Word. The Bible tells us something pretty profound. It says that if we don't know Jesus, it says this, we are without hope and without God in this world. And you can live without a lot of things, but you cannot live without hope. But that is where I was before I met the man Jesus. I was without hope and without God in the world. And the women you're thinking about who maybe don't know Jesus, haven't met him yet, that's where they're at. Now maybe you are here today and you are that woman who has never met Jesus. You have never encountered Jesus Christ, the man, yourself. You have never entered into a relationship with him. And you're sensing, you're being attracted to this man named Jesus. I want to encourage you. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. It's always today in God's economy. Today is the day. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. Don't let today go by without encountering Jesus. And I would love to share with you and introduce you to Jesus afterwards. Your table host also knows Jesus, and she would be more than happy to introduce you to him as well. So I just encourage you, don't let that opportunity go by another day. Maybe you have met that man, Jesus. You encountered him through the testimony of a girlfriend. You went to a Bible study. You've grown. You've gotten to know Jesus personally for yourself through the words of the Scriptures and walked with him. And I am sure there are many of you who could stand up here and testify over and over. We could have a line out the door of women who could say how significant the Bible has been to your life. Certain verses, you're probably thinking of a verse right now that's been your lifeline, your anchor, that has just, man, it's rescued you at your most powerfully difficult time in your life. How significant the Word of God is, and all the Bible studies you and I have had the privilege of attending and growing in and growing through. There are women that we know who don't have that. And they are without God. They're without hope and they're without God in the world. Precious women who need to meet the man named Jesus. And so we're here today, this great Lynx Ladies Luncheon, and we're here to encourage you with that in your own lives. We're here to let you know what the resources are that we have with Lynx. We're here to encourage you, to pray with you, to provide resources for you that maybe you would like to attend a women's Bible study. Maybe you'd like to host one, as Laura was talking about. Laura's story was so filled with all of these dynamics. But perhaps you'd even like to lead one or host one or facilitate one. And we're here to help you and encourage that to happen in your life. Because we know that unless and until a woman meets a man named Jesus, she is without hope. And we want to share him. We want to share him. He is very life itself. The Apostle Peter said, "Who else are we supposed to go to, Jesus? You hold the words of eternal life." He holds the words of eternal life, ladies. Thank you so much for being here today. Let me just offer a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for each woman in this room. I thank you for the journey that you have her on. I pray that you would meet her deepest, deepest needs. I pray that you would fill us all with more faith, that we might believe you more fully, that we might trust you and take you at your word, because your word is very life itself. We thank you, Father, for Jesus, and we pray in his holy name. Amen.
Barbara, I love you to pieces. We really appreciate your words of encouragement to us. Thank you. Well, ladies, you're doing something today that no other woman has done, and that's to be at the very first Women's Luncheon for Lynx Ladies. So we are thrilled to have you here. And as you have noticed probably on your table, there is a response card we'd like to invite you to complete. This is to give us more information to better serve you. So if you would like to be a part of a women's Bible study, if you would like to start a fellowship at your club, if you would like to be a host, a facilitator, as Barbara and Laura have already alluded to, we'd love to have that information from you. Again, if you would like to be the host, put that on the back of your card. There is some just instruction to put any additional information on the back. Have you enjoyed your time together today? Absolutely amazing. I thank you for being a part of today, for sharing this collective vision to share Christ with more and more people who need to know Jesus. I thank Jeff, who's been the facilitator and really the acting president of Lynx Players International. I thank Barbara and Marty Jacobus for partnering together to extend that. And for those of you who are already hosting Bible studies in your country clubs, thank you. Thank you, thank you. And if you would like to be a part of one, please let us know. At this time, I would like to invite you to close us, to join me in closing us with prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this launching pad for greater expansion of the Word of God that transforms and brings hope to lives everywhere. We love you. For those of us who know you personally, what a life you have given us. We are grateful beyond words. And Lord, give us a deeper passion to be greater women of influence, to recognize that every conversation we have is a divinely inspired appointment. That every person who crosses our path may be for the single purpose of loving them to Jesus. Thank you again for today, for the women sitting in this room. In Jesus' name, amen.